Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for 30 years here in Southwest Florida with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM. And now we've also been with our good friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area. Also on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then our friends at WTMR 800 AM serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And quick shout out to Philadelphia, the big win and going to the Super Bowl. But anyway, that's another story. So we are getting ready to continue our series, Portraits of God. We're looking at a particular one for the last couple of weeks and finishing up today. A marvelous portrait of God about how He is our whispering wisdom. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have a list of 10 takeaways as we're getting a good look at what the Lord, our whispering wisdom, looks like and what He does in sharing His whispered wisdom with us. So I'll be going through that with you. But hey, as you're making your way over there, just a reminder that these messages are all archived at my website, markpg.org. That's markpg.org. 27-minute audio broadcast. Just click on the broadcast box. You can click on the video box there, and you'll find some 3-minute videos on Portraits of God that I've also done before. Also, you can click on the box of articles and also some quick guides I've put together on all kinds of topics. They're all just different ways to help you hear God, because that's my heartbeat, helping you hear God. So check it out, markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity to sit down with my brothers and sisters, seated at your feet, gazing in your eyes, and letting you speak to us heart to heart. Lord, I'm absolutely loving sharing this portrait of you as our whispering wisdom in all the ways you share that with us. And so as we wind it up today, Lord, I pray that we will have an ongoing yearning to listen for your whispered wisdom from above. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we're going to get to number 7, 8, 9, and 10 today, but just a brief review of the first 6, just to kind of set the table as we're finishing up our feast on this topic of the Lord as our whispering wisdom. And if you're a note taker, you can jot these down or review your notes if you've been tuning in. But we saw, as we started this 3 weeks ago, that the Lord's whispered wisdom is, number one, given when we're ready. It's given when we're ready. John 16:12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I love how the Lord just unfolds His truths for us a little bit at a time when we're ready. Number two was that the Lord's whispered wisdom is revealed spirit to spirit. The next verse, John 16:13, says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. I love the idea of how the Spirit speaks to our spirit deep, deep in our hearts. Number three, the Lord's whispered wisdom is not receivable by some. You know, you just have to come to grips with sometimes the things that you're wanting to pass on as wisdom from the Lord that you have been learning. Sometimes people aren't able to receive it. Acts 6:10 puts it this way, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which He was speaking. So then on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, incredible manifestation of the Lord, but there are some people who said, these folks are just drunk. They don't know what they're doing. Amazing. But that's the real world. Then number four was how the Lord's whispered wisdom is marked by genuine humility. Scripture puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 8:1, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge makes arrogant or puffs up. But love edifies. And of course, that's the hallmark of humility. Number five was that the Lord's whispered wisdom is through the tool of Scripture. Now, that's an important thing. It's not the focal point. It is a tool to help you see the Lord, the very heart of God and the ways of God. The Scripture points to Jesus. Don't get stuck on just biblical knowledge and information like the Pharisees did. Don't commit biblical idolatry. The Bible puts it this way in John chapter 5, verse 39, when Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." Wow, powerful stuff. And then number six, the whispered wisdom of God is often obscured by religious traditions. Listen to this in Mark 7:13, "You are thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that." See, the Pharisees were well-intended in trying to do the letter of the law, which we're about to talk about in number seven. They thought they were doing a good thing, but I'm telling you, it's a works theology. It's a do and a don't list, and it was absolutely devastating to the real truths of God. The whispered wisdom of God is often obscured by religious traditions, which we practice by rote. We practice them heartlessly. We practice them without nuance, without winsomeness, without joy, without kindness, and it becomes a heavy, heavy burden. And the Pharisees became the blind leading the blind with their legalistic system of religious traditions. My friends, don't fall prey to that. We do that in every denomination. Our religious traditions begin to obscure some more nuanced, whispered wisdom from above. So now we come to number seven. Number seven is given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, which is another picture of how the Lord loves to whisper his wisdom from above and how he is our whispering wisdom. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, "God also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So here's our takeaway, number seven. The Lord's whispered wisdom is life-giving in the Spirit, not the letter. The Lord's wisdom whispered to our souls is life-giving in the Spirit, not the letter. When you try to use God's love letters, the Scripture, and treat it like the tax code or some kind of a rule book so that you can enforce what God seems to be saying in that to you, and then try to force that on others and create a whole legalistic system, well, we circle back to what we just said in number six about how the Pharisees, though well-intended, created some heavy religious traditions that blotted out the whispered wisdom of God, and more specifically, they began to use the Bible by trying to make people follow the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Oh, my friend, don't make that mistake. Don't use the Bible is a weapon to tell people how they're wrong or they're making God angry or mad or anything like that. No. The Bible's telling a story. God is using a heart language on all different kinds of genre throughout the Scripture, from the Old Testament Pentateuch and the story of the children of Israel to the wisdom literature like Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Job. To the prophetic books we have throughout the latter part of the Old Testament, through the Gospels and the New Testament and Paul's letters and the apocalyptic literature and Daniel also in Revelation, all different literary genre. But at the end of the day, it's revealing the heart of God. It's written as an ongoing story. And when you handle it in the Spirit, it gives life to those that are reading it. Those who are teaching it should give life to the Scriptures and not treat it like a weapon to hurt people with, not or a knife to stab people with, or a club to beat people with. It's not intended to be that way at all. Oh, my friend, learn to read the Scriptures as a, well, as an ongoing collection of the portraits of God. I mean, this gripped me, as you know, many years ago, and I'm still preaching that sermon series today. I love helping you hear God and see God in these portraits. He is our whispering wisdom, and His whispered wisdom is life-giving in the Spirit, not in the letter. So use the Scripture gently, softly. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and following, the servant of the Lord, that would be us, the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant repentance, that is, a change of mind, that's what repentance means, that God may grant repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will. You see, that's given us a specific manner or heart with which to share the life-giving, whispering wisdom of God from the Scriptures. Oh, my friend, handle it gently. Handle people gently. Bring them along. Give them a glimpse of God's love letters to us. It's life-giving in the Spirit, but it's not when you treat it like the tax code or a rule book, enforcing the letter. Powerful. Well, let's continue our journey. We got number 8, 9, and 10 to go. Number 8 about the Lord's whispered wisdom is it's spoken by Jesus in parables. Now, this is one of the greatest ways to make sure you're life-giving in the Spirit and not the letter when you're teaching and preaching the Word of God, and that is to use parables. In fact, this is an incredibly powerful passage. Listen to this. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. Does that just blow you away or what? When Jesus was sharing his wisdom from above, he would always use parables in the midst of that which he was sharing. Why? Because they're colorful and they touch the heart and they're easier to follow and understand, and they're far more memorable than just being didactic with a bunch of bullet points and subpoints and that type of a thing. Jesus was always using parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, according to Matthew 13:34. My friend, listen for the Lord. Listen for his whispers in your life through the Scriptures, through the books that you read, through the messages that you listen to on radio or in podcasts, even in the experiences that you have in life. He is always whispering his wisdom to those who have a heart and spirit to be listening for that wisdom from above. You know, I'll just give you a parable right now. Here's a real life one. So I was struggling with some things in our lives. My wife has some health issues, and she's had them for many, many years. And we've been to many doctors and tried different treatments and all that. And you know, sometimes it just gets so wearying. I've actually been sharing some principles about the Lord being our fresh beginning and using this as an illustration to folks. And several of our churches have laid, and oh, after every service, I cannot tell you how many people are coming up with their health issues saying, I am so glad you shared that because I've been struggling too and getting very discouraged. And what I shared with them was that as I was down with this, you know, every now and then you just kind of go through this cloudy or foggy day or two or three or more, just handling the Lord. Why aren't you healing? Or you can, you're perfectly capable to, but you're not. I don't get that. I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not trying to be complaining, but I am hurting. And I was just venting before the Lord. And it's good to vent, my friends. I hope you do. This particular day, I had gone on a prayer walk. I love to go before sunup, see the stars out there. Helps me get a bigger view of God. Then I was sitting back behind our home, and there's this little small pond retention kind of lakes, so little interconnected waterways for water management here in Southwest Florida. And on one side of them is this preserve as well. So we get to see a lot of different kinds of birds, you know, the white ibises or the egrets or the blue herons. We also see an alligator or two from time to time and other animals. And on this particular occasion, as I was just saying, Lord, I just don't have much hope that you're ever going to heal my sweetheart. It's because it's been going on for decades. And about that time, I saw these two little almost thumb-sized things stick up out of the water pond that I was watching with the preserve on the other side of it. Sun was already coming up, so I was able to see that. And I thought, are those turtles? I think those are turtles. And sure enough, as they came a little closer to shore, I got up and looked a little more closely, and you can see through the clearness of the water, there were these two little turtles just swimming around, swirling a little bit in this pond that was filled with all kinds of fish, filled with, had some alligators, had all these other birds, all kinds of wildlife. But there they were, seemingly dancing with each other in the waters, going to and fro. And I'd seen the turtles before. But on this particular day, they were alone, just the two of them, two little heads bobbing out of the water. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, this is a parable for you, son, and it answers your question. Marriage is about two turtles swimming together in the dangerous waters, day after day, never leaving each other, but helping each other navigate whatever I allow to unfold in their lives. Whether I heal your wife physically in totality in this temporal world, or whether I choose to wait until she enters eternity, my healing is given in the way and in the time that I choose. And in the meantime, you can trust me or you can be mad at me. It's your choice. But far better to turtle through with your mate, no matter what the circumstances are in your life. He touched me. He spoke to me, spirit to spirit, through a real life parable in that moment. My friends, I don't know what great challenges you have, but for those that are married, stay by your mate's side. Swim not as powerful alligators and able to handle and devour anything that comes in your path. No, but as little turtles doing your thing, trusting your God no matter what unfolds. There can be peace in the midst of troubled waters. Sometimes we just have to be reminded that we're here to stick together and turtle through life. Oh, the whispered wisdom of God is spoken by Jesus in parables, and he still does that today, heart to heart. Well, we come to number 9 now. And this is an important one, and it's one that causes us to miss some of those subtle, gentle parables and wisdom that we've been speaking about. Because number 9 is this, that the Lord's whispered wisdom is missed when we are too occupied. The Lord's whispered wisdom is missed when we are too preoccupied. Let me take you to Luke chapter 10, verses 41 through 42. It's a wonderful story of how Jesus was with Mary and Martha, and they were going to serve him a meal. And Martha was the one that was working hard. And Mary was the one sitting at the feet of the Lord, chatting with him. And she and Martha came out and said, "Lord, can you tell Mary to come and help me? And oh my God, she's just sitting here. You know, I get it, you know, but I need some help and things to be done. And there's a lot to get done here." And Jesus says to her, and I believe very gently, because that's the character of him, the Lord. Might sound like a rebuke if you're used to hearing rebukes throughout your life. But if you know the Lord and the heart of the Lord, he whispers his wisdom. He's gentle in correcting. And he says this in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 through 42. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary." You see, when we get too preoccupied with all the responsibilities of the moment, of the day, of the week, of the year, when we get too preoccupied, we miss the tender moments and the gentle whispers of wisdom from the Lord. She was missing it. Mary wasn't. She was dialed in. Now, there's a time and a place for both. Passionate, vigorous service as unto the Lord, but there's also a time of sitting and being still before the Lord. And the calibration in each of our lives is such that the number one thing the Lord wants us to get is that I'm happy for you to work hard, but not if it becomes a preoccupation that causes you to miss my whispered wisdom. Worship me. Spend time with me. Cultivate an intimacy with me. In that context, you can still get a lot done, but guess what? You'll enjoy all those activities far more because you'll be doing it as unto me, not as unto yourself or anybody else. Oh, my friend, be careful in becoming too preoccupied in your work world or as a mom or as a dad or even as a pastor, as a teacher, as a boss, as a worker. We can come in so preoccupied, we miss some of the deeper things of God. We become too preoccupied, and the noise of this life, the noise of busyness, can keep us from hearing the whispered wisdom of God. The noise of woundedness. We've all been wounded. We've been hurt by people. And if we carry unresolved bitterness and woundedness, then that's a noise that keeps us from hearing the whispered wisdom of God, my friend. Deal with that. Take it to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I'm hurting here. Lord, I don't get this. It's that day when I was out in the backyard by the pond. Lord, I'm struggling here, and I was venting, and he helped me put it into perspective. He was helping me get healed from some woundedness of frustration, of how I thought he wasn't doing a very good job regarding physical health in this world for my sweetie." But you know what? That's between him and her. That's between actually all three of us, because we're in this together. We're one. And we can trust him. And we'll let him unfold his healing however frequently, however deeply, and on whatever timetable he has, my friend. Don't be so preoccupied that you miss those tender whispers of wisdom in your life. Now, as we wind this up, similarly to what we've been talking about, we come to number 10, which is phrased a little differently. It's put this way about the Lord's whispered wisdom: it's more easily heard by the servant-hearted. The whispered wisdom of God, who is our whispering wisdom, is more easily heard by the servant-hearted. Listen to this in Luke chapter 10, verse 24. "For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them." Oh man, I love that. Hey, I'm not a king. I'm not a big time prophet or anything. I'm not famous, and I don't want to be. I'm just someone who loves the Lord, doing my best to hear him and pass along what I'm learning to others. And the thing is, when we think of ourselves too highly than we ought to think, when we get proud, when we get self-aggrandizing, well, the proud have loud hearts and we can't hear those whispers of God. But the humble have quiet souls and they more easily hear those whispers because they don't have the loud, brassy noise of an arrogant and proud heart. The servant-hearted, the humble, more easily hear the whispered wisdom of God. Oh, my friends, I hope you've caught a vision for that. I hope you understand that when Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and my yoke is easy, and you will find rest for your souls." Well, that yoke is gentleness and humility. It's being servant-hearted. And oh, how he rejects the proud, but he gives grace and wisdom to the humble. So there it is, my friend. The portrait of God. He is our whispering wisdom. It's all over the scriptures. And those who settle their hearts and are still before him will hear him live. Well, Lord, we do thank you for this word. Oh, what a wonderful word. We do receive you, Lord, as our whispering wisdom. In Jesus' name. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love with the Lord, your whispering wisdom.